hottest topics, the latest rumors, in-depth discussions, and the biggest headlines. Your weekly WWE fix all in one place. Find us on YouTube, iTunes, Automatic, and SoundCloud. This is the Main Event Podcast with your hosts, Arif and Raza. It's time for the Main Event.
You'll be very happy to know that there's actually been some news in the wrestling world this week compared to that awful week last week. The Cruiserweight Classic is over. AJ Styles is the WWE World Champion. Who would have thought that we'd hear that in 2016? The new NXT tapings have taken place as well. And there's a rumoured another tournament on the way as well, so we'll get into that and much more soon. But what is up, wrestling fans? Welcome back to another episode of the Main Event Podcast. This is episode 59. Hope you're all having a fantastic week and you're ready to join me for another hour or so. As always, I'm your host, Reza, and joining me is Arif. How are you doing?
Welcome to the Main Event Podcast.
Welcome indeed. What have you been up to this week?
Well, Reza, I have been on the WWE Network.
Okay.
Been watching a little show, you may have heard of it, called the Cruiserweight Classic.
Oh, really?
Just watched the first episode. I have a feeling that this Kento Ibushi character and this Ho-Ho Lin may meet in the finals. But who am I to say, as it's only just started? Follow me as we delve into the Cruiserweight Classic.
The spoiler's coming up then, I guess.
What? What do you mean? How? It's only just started.
You'll see. In today's episode, we are looking back at the Cruiserweight Classic as I just mentioned.
What do you mean looking back on the first week?
There's the Backlash results as well, sadly.
Yes, there is.
There's just a variety of topics as well where we should be getting through. And of course, the van is parked outside. The freezer is running. The scoops are inside. Five bigger scoops over the last week or so, talking a little bit about them as well.
Now, do you think it's unethical to have the electricity running in the van whilst we're inside and no one's in the van?
I didn't think of that.
Maybe we should turn it off for a while.
But then the scoops won't be as...
Oh, God, they're all melting!
Yeah.
Turn it back on.
I'll leave it on. Before we go on with the show, I'll just remind you there are plenty of ways you can tune in every single week. Head on over to iTunes and YouTube, type in the Event Podcast, click on that subscribe button. Tune in every single week.
Show like, some love.
Yeah, like the episodes, comment, recommend to all your friends as well. We greatly appreciate that. Also, Podomatic and SoundCloud as well. Again, type in the Main Event Podcast. You should see the title belt logo pop up somewhere. Follow us there too. Everything else in the description boxes, wherever it is you're listening, click on any of the links to be navigated wherever it is you want to go, I guess. Right then.
We have a Facebook page. We have an Instagram page. We're moving into the 28th century.
Finally. Before we get on with the main...
Soon we'll have audio into your ears holes. No?
No.
Directly into your brain.
One day. Before we get on with the main topic, I'd just like to hand it over to Arif very quickly. A very upsetting moment for me to quickly go down the Backlash results to crown the Main Event Podcast Prediction Champion. As you know, I am the NXT Podcast Prediction Champion from Brooklyn. NXT TakeOver Brooklyn this year. But yeah, we tied at SummerSlam, so I guess Backlash will determine who the champion is.
And unless... isn't it funny how you bring up the NXT Championship, a title that can only be defended once every 3 months, whereas with my championship, and I do say my championship, spoilers, people, I have to defend my title within the next week and a half at the Raw pay-per-view. And I still go back to our original agreement where I feel we should have separate championships for SmackDown and Raw, but despite that and forgetting that completely, let's just go through the Backlash results, shall we?
Let's do it.
So initially we had a Baron Corbin versus Apollo Crews match. I don't believe we actually predicted that one because it was on the pre-show and it wasn't very good.
I think it wasn't announced by the time we recorded. I think that was quite late.
But Baron Corbin did defeat Apollo Crews. Where does that leave Apollo Crews?
I have no idea. I don't know. He's just there, isn't he?
He's not very good. Yeah. He's a jobber to the stars. Yeah. On the main show, Backlash kicked off with the six-pack women's championship match.
Yes,
it was an elimination match as well. Now, we did have a little bit of an additional, guessing game for this question or for this match. I don't think it needs to come into play, so maybe we just go off the result.
Yeah, we can do.
Because I still think that I won the order of elimination as well. Becky Lynch defeated Alexa Bliss, Carmella, Naomi, Natalya, and Nikki Bella to become your new WWE SmackDown Women's Champion. Then we had the Usos facing the Hype Bros. The Usos picked up the win. The new look on the Usos is pretty cool, actually. Yeah. I like the way that they just don't take no slack from the audience. Yeah. And they qualify for the Tag Team Tournament final match later on in the night. We had The Miz versus Dolph Ziggler. Now, this was quite an interesting match because both Rosa and myself went for The Miz.
Did we?
We did.
I'm sure you picked Dolph.
I have it written down here. It's also bolded. And both Rosa and myself won because The Miz retained his championship, albeit a little bit of hairspray in the eyes of Dolph Ziggler there. Not very nice way to lose that match. Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton. Yeah, this match didn't really kick in. Rosa, I'm sure you'll go into a bit more detail about why Randy Orton didn't participate. But Bray Wyatt did actually pick up the win. I think this is his first ever pay-per-view win of 2016, possibly.
I guess.
Or first singles match pay-per-view, but anyway.
I actually don't have anything right about Randy Orton. I completely forgot. But yeah, he was concussed from SummerSlam, which the WWE knew about.
Brock Lesnar really did a number on him. Mm. Bray Wyatt won, and so did Raza and myself. We both picked Bray Wyatt to win that. And then we had Kane versus Bray Wyatt, and this was just a pointless match. Out of everyone that could have come down, we had Kane. Kane defeated Bray Wyatt after interference by Randy Orton, who was definitely selling an ankle injury from earlier in the night. We had Heath Slater and Rhino versus the Usos. Now, what's interesting with this match is Raza picked the Usos to win, and I picked Heath Slater and Rhino. And this is really the beginning of the downfall, even though I already won the WWE Women's Championship prediction with Becky Lynch, where Raza picked Nikki Bella. Who would pick Nikki Bella? I also won with the Heath Slater and Rhino prediction for your new tag team champions, Slater and Rhino. Which brings us to the main event. Yeah. Dirty Deeds Dean Ambrose versus the phenomenal Pitbull AJ Styles. Well, Rosa. This match was actually worth 3 points, though it didn't really matter in the grand scheme of things.
Of course.
Although if Dean Ambrose had won, you know you would have won this, right?
Yeah.
You know you would have won this, right?
Yep.
But your winner, as I'm sure you're all very much aware, and new WWE World Champion, AJ Styles. They don't want none. You don't want none. Rosa lost and I want some.
I'll
take
that.
Which makes me your new main event podcast heavyweight champion of the world, Arif.
Well, congratulations, I'll give you that. I didn't make some questionable picks.
I don't need your congratulations.
You did well.
I don't need your congratulations.
As you said.
I did this by myself because, Raza, now I am the voice that runs the house.
For a week and a half, as you said, not even
that's
that.
Me.
With Clash of Champions coming, it'll be interesting to see who...
What was CM Punk's title winning reign length, was it 434 days?
Yes. Oh, well, you are not going 434 days. I can bet my left arm on that. You will not
this,
go.
This is day 6 of the main event podcast. Wait, hold on. What day are we saying we recorded this?
On the Saturday, of course.
This is day 6 of Arif's world title reign.
Record-breaking reign at the minute.
Yep, it really...
Rather well. Congratulations to you. How
does it feel, Raza? How does it feel to lose the big one? Some people are saying that you just choke at the last minute.
We'll see. As in, it's been one pay-per-view.
Yep.
We'll see what happens at Clash of Champions, as I said.
Some say that you're just not championship material. How do you respond to that?
You say that, not some say. You say that.
You could be the Dolph Ziggler. You could be the Marty Jannetty of this podcast.
We'll see. If I lose at Clash of Champions, you have every right to say that to me. But we'll see.
Let's
what happens.
Let's remember this.
Right then. Okay.
In the event of a draw, of course, the champion takes
it. Yeah, of course. I think we could have a tiebreaker or something. Yeah, we'll see.
No. I'll just pick the same as you.
Right then. Oh, is that how it works? Right, well, again, congratulations to Arif. We'll look forward to Clash of Champions and him defending the title. But a major rumour to kick off the show. Doing the rounds online over the past few days, perhaps too big to be the number one scoop. Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose. The band could be getting back together.
The Wolfpack, back together again.
Apparently, plans are in place for the Shield to reunite at either Survivor Series or the Royal Rumble in January, again for one night, I think. Good idea or bad idea?
How would it work? So, obviously, Dean Ambrose is on one show and Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns is on the other show.
Yeah.
So, Survivor Series seems to make the most sense if you're going to have this cross-brand promotion and cross-brand match.
I mean, it is approaching quite quickly as well, so feud-wise as well, you don't know.
A month and a half. So how would it even work? Obviously, with them all being faced now, I guess this is the earliest time that it could make sense, not the best time. But for me, it has to be something where they're all on the same show, and then we can run with it a little bit further. Right now, I can't see any way that it would make sense for the three of them to team up. There's no opponent across brands that they could face unless it was AJ Styles and the Club.
Yeah. I think from what I've heard, or what I've read, it is a good idea. I think Roman Reigns thinks it's a bloody good idea as well. it'll be the first time in a long time where he'd probably get cheered for sure. I think, as you said, it depends on what's happening around that time.
I don't even think he'll get cheered.
Maybe not. Maybe during the entrance and then when he's in the ring, he'll get booed. I guess it's unfair to say right now, yes or no, towards Royal Rumble, because we don't know what's going to happen between then. So if we're focusing on...
You said that Lesnar was coming back and he was going to win the championship and then he was going to hold it forever.
Yeah, but this will be a different feud. So if we focus on what? Survivor Series, again, I'm a little on the fence. Obviously, storylines will be clearer as Survivor Series approaches. The only reason I'd say I don't like it is because I think the WWE can milk this reunion for such a long time that the interest will still be there no matter what. But at the same time, I think everyone would fangirl like crazy when the music hits. There's no denying that. I think...
And the weeks building up to it as well would be awesome to see.
I think... Survivor Series is the event to do that. I mean, it makes sense. Everyone wants to see it sooner rather than later. It's for one night. It's the same event they debuted on all those years ago. So I think on paper, it makes sense. I prefer to see a 3-on-3 at Survivor Series rather than team up with two more facing against five in a traditional match. I wouldn't like to see that. But as you said, I think right now, until we see how the storylines develop, it's a little difficult to tell. But the actual idea of it is something I'd like to see happen. For sure.
I can definitely see it happening. Like you said, I think it's way too early to do it because they can milk this for as long as they want.
Yeah.
And people know, they know that people want to see the Shield reunion. But if they were to do it at Survivor Series, a 3-on-3 match would be awesome to see. Like, there's no reason to have them team up with two other people unless those two other people get injured before the match or they get eliminated straight away, and then it ends up being the Shield versus a group of five, and I think that's how you show their dominance. The fact that they're all faces now opens the door, but I don't think it needs to allow them to enter at this moment in time.
Look, let's say it does happen, we see the three of them interact more and more in the build. I think the key thing here is that
how are they going to interact though? There are no cross-brand promotional bits before Survivor Series.
But that's the thing, if they do build it up, I think Orton and Lesnar did show that cross-brand feuds can work. So
yeah, but that was a feud that was started before the actual brand extension.
Yeah, but as in when the brand extension came into play, it still worked well with Orton making a shocking appearance, I'd say, at Raw, and Lesnar being a smart. I think that would
What I'm trying to say though is there's no reason for either Seth Rollins or Roman Reigns to go to SmackDown at the moment, and likewise, no reason for Dean Ambrose to go to Raw.
I think... Continue.
No, go ahead.
I think Reigns would go to SmackDown to help Ambrose, his brother, whatever it is, the feud going on. And I think Ambrose would come to Raw. I think Rollins is still the key part in this. I think he is...
I'm the architect!
Okay, let's just say it does happen. We see the three of them interact more and more in the build-up to the reunion. Do you think this hurts Rollins and Ambrose more than it helps Reigns?
Not necessarily. The Shield reunion is money for all three of them. To be fair, I think Dean Ambrose is lacking a little bit at the moment as well. I think the only person that could conceivably come off worse from all of this is Seth Rollins, but I don't think he will either. I think he would also benefit from this face push for him as well, because even though he's a face now, there's no compelling reason for the fans to get behind him apart from the fact that he's amazing in the ring, which obviously is a great thing, but he's shown no, from a kayfabe point of view, he's shown no face characteristics over the past year.
Yeah.
So there's no kayfabe reason to be behind him. So a Shield reunion could really jumpstart that for him. Obviously, it could jumpstart it for Reigns as well, who's really been lacking that. And Dean Ambrose needs a kick, needs an extra push. So I think it'll be beneficial for all three of them. To go back to an earlier point, though, I would like to see them cross paths for the first time in a long time at Survivor Series, have this backstage group or like bumping into each other or something like that, where they're all like seen together. Yeah. And that then sets the wheels in motion for a Royal Rumble. Maybe all three of them are there at the Rumble as well, in the middle of the ring. And that's the way it goes. And then maybe something after WrestleMania. I think it's way too early to actually have that match where they're together. But, yeah.
I agree. I think that would be pretty cool. I do think it is a cheap way to get Reigns over, though, with the crowd for one night. But the way I do see it is if Reigns is in the ring, he gets booed. On the way to the ring, he gets cheered. Well, the Shield gets cheered. But yeah, I do think it'll help Reigns. I think it also helps Ambrose, as you said, Rollins as well. I think a Shield reunion would help Ambrose stay as the biggest face on SmackDown, especially with the level of momentum after that. So it'd be huge for him.
But who else is there, though?
Exactly. But the way he's going, it's like SmackDown doesn't have a top face.
That's true. It's like Raw doesn't have a top face either. This would be a really good way to elevate all three of them.
Exactly. For Rollins, it still seems like a transitional period going from heel to face. I think there will be one night where instantly he's face now. Because he hasn't, I don't think he'll ever suck up to the crowd or anything like that. But I do think there will be one moment somewhere where he does turn face and we know it. Right now, I think he's tilting towards face. Mm-hmm. So I do think the reunion could potentially act like the catalyst to the fully fledged face turn. I think the fans want to see a face turn, probably the best way to do it as well. So it helps him. Reigns, again, the tricky one in my eyes. Yeah, he might get a few cheers, probably not more than the other guys. But I do think it helps him. I think he was at his best as the muscle of the Shield. That's not even, that you can't even argue that. I think,
yeah, definitely.
If he could have one incredible night where he looks as good as well as Ambrose, I think that could change his fortunes, but I highly doubt it.
Do you remember that Royal Rumble where he was, it was him and Batista, I think, as the last two?
Yeah.
And he got cheered, and then literally maybe a year or 2 years later, it was completely the opposite.
I'd say exactly a year later. First he gets booed because Batista wins, and then when he wins, everyone's in. I don't know. But yeah, I do think even though it could benefit Reigns, it'll probably benefit Ambrose the most out of the three.
I honestly think it'll benefit Rollins the most. And that's a really weird, it's a really weird way of looking at it. But just think, if you're Seth Rollins right now and you've been thrust into this position when you were originally scheduled to be the biggest heel in the company against someone that they were trying to promote as the biggest face in the company, Finn Balor. He's now had to take Finn Balor's place, and Kevin Owens has come into his position.
Yeah.
And he's had to completely change his character because of this.
Yeah.
And I think it's really difficult to do that without a kickstart, without a catalyst, without something that's going to help push that because of the way he's been portrayed for the past year. And I think having a Shield reunion, not necessarily a match, but at least a reunion backstage, would help elevate that.
Yeah. Fair point.
But it would benefit all three of them.
Yeah, of course.
In different ways.
I think, obviously, it comes down to who they're up against. That's the main thing. As in, I have to stress, it's only a rumour. It might not happen. It might happen next year. We don't know yet. But I think what's being said in regards to this being a one-off match is that things could change because of SummerSlam. As I said, we saw the cross-promotion with Orton and Lesnar. Mm-hmm. So the WWE might choose to have... Well, they'll have to have a cross-promotion feud if they're using these guys. If that's the case, who should the WWE pick? I know you said Anderson, Gallows, and Astaz, I 100% agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
I think it should be. I think the key is to make sure their reunion goes down in history like their debut did. So you don't want jobbers or people who you'll forget in a year.
Who else could it be? Who else has that other cross promotion?
That's the thing. People? If it's the club, I'm assuming, if it's at Survivor Series or Rumble, I'm assuming AJ Styles will still be world champion.
Yeah.
So I think Dean Ambrose can be involved in that. But I think if you're not having... Kevin Owens with the Rollins factor. So if you can have Owens and Triple H and somebody else, I do think that would be a good plan B, but I think the best way would be the club. I think that's the best fix to make sure it goes down well. And I think that'd be good for Gallows and Anderson as well, because we haven't exactly seen them hit the heights we thought they would. And imagine going into Survivor Series, all the Royal Rumble, going up against the Shield, who have just reunited for one night.
And you'd hope as well, if that was the case, that they'd be pushed to the moon before then as well to make them look strong. But you can never trust the WWE.
That's the thing. So yeah, if it wasn't the club, I can see Kevin Owens and Triple H playing a part in it because of the Rollins factor.
Kevin Owens, Triple H, and Stephanie McMahon.
She picks up the win.
Yeah.
And
well, you can't hit her back.
Yeah, that's
Triple H will attack you even if you hug her.
Exactly. I think other than those two teams, I'd say anything else is a big risk with the Shield involved. Is there anyone else in your mind do you think could be involved?
Evolution.
Really?
Are we not going down that road?
No, not again.
We just pick up Randy Orton from SmackDown, Triple H from the corporate offices, and Batista from whatever planet he's on at the moment.
I guess you can probably consider Lesnar.
Ooh, that would be more like a 3-on-1 match, I would assume.
I mean, if you're going to go down the 5-on-5 path, then you could have an incredible team with Triple H, Lesnar, Owens, and whoever else on one side.
Triple H, Lesnar, Owens, Stephanie, and Paul Heyman.
Stephanie's going to pick up the pinfall for the win because she can't lose.
Oh, well, I couldn't even conceive a 5-on-5 match though with the Shield.
That's the thing. It's tricky now because of the cross promotion, so you don't know who wins. It's supposed to be Raw versus SmackDown.
I want to see the Shield come back after WrestleMania, the night after WrestleMania, and I think that's the best way to do it and have them all on one show. That's it. No more. No more.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't want any of this cross promotion stuff. It doesn't work. Like it. I don't like change.
Fair enough. Right. It's important to stress again, that's a rumor. So as excited as you guys
may be. It may not even be true.
Exactly. As excited as you guys may be about it, please sit down, breathe. Time for some Scoop Tariff.
Oh no.
Oh yes.
Oh yes. Sierra, Charlie, Oscar, Papa, Scoops.
Thank you very much. I was just going to ask you, I'm sure you have a great theme for us this week, considering we just talked about the three guys. Yeah, thank you.
It's all yours.
Right then, five biggest scoops of the week. And at number five, we have Cesaro, currently 3-2 down to Sheamus. It looks fairly obvious that we'll go to a seventh match, which means Cesaro should pick up the sixth win. However, while many are predicting that the whole Cinderella story with Cesaro will result in him taking the fourth win to win 4-3, the plan is to have Cesaro lose in that final match.
Well.
This is to set up his trade to SmackDown Live.
Oh.
So it could look like Cesaro could follow Jack Swagger and head over to SmackDown. Apparently Jack Swagger's going to receive a little push as well, so it'll be interesting to see what happens, even though he didn't get the biggest reaction.
They better not do a Heath Slater with him as well.
I hope not. I think make Jack Swagger great again fits in so much better than Darren Young. Don't you think?
Yeah.
With his whole American persona and everything, but yeah.
Yeah, I guess, but Darren Young is homosexual, so I guess that's...
Fair point.
I just mean it in the sense that it's a good thing, like that they're trying to do something with someone who has these like LGBT, like the group behind them and stuff.
I don't think that's the issue people have. The issue people have is that he was never great to be great again.
Oh, okay. No,
that's,
I get
you. That's the issue. Yeah. So I think
I'm just saying I commend the WWE to actually push someone.
Of course.
Like that, and from their previous with things like that, I just, you know what I mean. Mm. They're not very.
Number four, the scoop. It looks more and more likely that Hulk Hogan could be making his return to WWE relatively soon as well.
Well, let me tell you something, Raza.
He's been featured more and more in...
The N-word is not one of those words in my vocabulary, Raza.
He's been featured more and more in WWE Network advertisements. His voice has been used as well. So the WWE could be softening up on his punishment now. He could be coming back soon, so keep an eye out for that. Should he come back?
He's a legend.
Yeah.
But he's a bit of a loose cannon with his words. I don't think he realizes what he does sometimes.
Do you think people will forgive him?
Yeah. I think it would be narrow sighted of people not to.
Yeah.
I think he's obviously a product of the system and doesn't realize when he's not able to say things like that even in a private environment because they may be made public.
Yeah.
I would like to see him return just because it's Hulk Hogan and he evokes so many feelings to so many people.
Hmm. We'll see what happens. Number three, some spoilers here to take place within the next month regarding NXT. So if you don't want to hear them, mute me for like 30 seconds?
I will remove my headphones.
Okay. The Dusty Rose Tag Team Classic is back. New teams.
Oh, God, arrived. I just realized you're sat in the same studio as me.
So it'll be...
Oh, my God, I can still hear you.
So it'll be interesting to see who they hand the trophy to this year. I'd like to see Akam and Reza of the Authors of Pain take the win. They seem a really tough team.
Let's just say my pick is the perfectly glorious team.
Okay, you'll be surprised with what happens. Not only that, I'm sure you've all seen the Sanity video packages on NXT over the last few weeks, hyping up a star arriving on NXT. The identity has been revealed on the tapings.
Is it? Is it who I think it is?
Who do you think it is?
Dean Ambrose.
No. It's actually a group, which is different, and it should be cool to see the direction they're taking in. It consists of Sawyer Fulton, Alexander Wolf, Nikki Storm, and led by Eric Young, believe it or not.
Oh, really? What?
Yes. So he has officially signed now.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
He's a bit crazy.
Yeah. He looks a bit loopy as well, yeah.
A little bit crazy. Whatever happened to Petey Williams?
I have no idea.
I mean, he had a really cool finisher.
Was Petey Williams over, or was the Canadian Destroyer over?
Both.
I think it was the Canadian Destroyer that was over more than Petey
Williams.
Yeah,
the Canadian Destroyer was amazing. Yeah. Petey Williams, he retired.
Mm. Number 2 and 1 of the scoops are linking quite well with the next topic, so we'll quickly get through these. At number 2, at the minute, only 6 names have been confirmed for the Raw Cruiserweight division. Perhaps more will join later. They've had 32 in it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, it's 7, but obviously 6 are joining the winner. Perhaps they've signed... More.
Sorry, you say the winner. What do you mean by the winner?
Well, it's finished, RF. You missed the entire Cruiserweight Classic.
No. I watched the first episode today, and Kota Ibushi won his match.
Okay.
Ho-Ho Lun won his match.
I can tell you Ho-Ho Lun is nowhere near the finals.
I mean, he looked pretty impressive against Sean Daivari. I don't know. I don't know what show you were watching. Maybe you're watching some of their independent wrestling, but
maybe
this is clearly just on episode 1. So whatever you're saying now, people don't pay any attention to it. It's clearly just lies.
Clearly,
Rizzo just spreads lies on this podcast.
Yeah, perhaps we will see more cruiserweights joining later as a surprise factor. At the minute, Brian Kendrick, Rich Swann, Cedric Alexander, Lince Dorado, Noam Dar, and Grand Metalik.
Most of these people weren't even in the first episode.
Yeah, exactly. They're obviously joining the winner, TJ Perkins, on Raw. I do think more will be added for sure. Some big names.
It's not even a real name.
At number 1. That may not be the only final tournament coming our way either, you know. Obviously, the success of the Cruiserweight Classic plays a big part in it. We'll probably get another tournament next year of that. But the WWE are now focusing on the women. And they're planning a similar tournament featuring the best female talent from around the world. In the hope of crowning the best. Do you think this is a tournament that could work?
Shimmer.
Is that your answer?
Shimmer has loads of women's wrestlers.
Plenty.
Yep, that's all I know about women's wrestling outside of the WWE. Oh, and they let some of them face the men in Lucha Underground.
And other promotions as well.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, quite a lot.
There are other promotions?
Yes.
Well, this rabbit hole goes deeper than I thought.
I think it can succeed now. A decade ago, no chance. Now, for sure.
And obviously, with the success of the Cruiserweight Classic,
exactly,
which is yet to be seen, I think it's going to be great for the women to actually have this showcase and have this separate sort of federation, in a sense, which is what the Cruiserweight Classic was, to really just showcase their skills and promote themselves, and then obviously get their push in the main roster.
I think women will now look at how the Cruiserweights are treated on Raw before deciding, is this worth going into? I think it is important that they will get showcased. Every single one of those cruiserweights was showcased to the best of their ability, depending on where they were on the stage. So if you got eliminated in the first round, there's nothing you can do about that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you went to the final, you got a video package making sure you deserve to be treated like a finalist.
No, but even in the first week episodes, everyone got short 20-second video package to give you a background on who they are. Even if they got eliminated, it's still interesting to see who this person is, why they're here, and who they represent, and what country they're from.
I think that's the key thing that they'll need to realise, is that small video package can be enough for someone to YouTube what you're about and become a fan.
Yeah.
So I do think women who are hesitant of not doing it, I do think it is probably, obviously, unless you're against the WWE and everything, I don't see a reason why you wouldn't, you know, unless you don't want to travel and things like that.
Women, just do it.
Yeah, that's true.
Just do it. That's all you need. Just do it.
But yeah, I think there's some fantastic talent all over the world, whether you look at developmental over in Japan, women they've used on NXT in the past, such as Tessa Blanchard. I do think it's a massive opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I think the key thing here is that you've got Triple H at the helm. I think it could be a huge success with him. It's something that he should do. I just think having both every year could grow stale. Cruiserweight, then women, cruiserweight. Eventually, you're going to sign all the talent available.
I think what we have to remember, though, is no matter what happens in the women's tournament, Eva Marie's going to win. So,
of course, yeah. I think other than the Diva Surge, we haven't had this sort of focus on women, so it'll be nice to see
them getting... Hey, don't badmouth the Diva Surge. The Diva Surge gave us AJ Lee.
She's not there anymore.
What?
She went along with CM Punk, who did lose last week, by the way.
Yep. I mean...
And the WWE absolutely dissed him with that.
I mean, he at least he tried.
He didn't throw... Well, I don't think he threw a punch standing up.
And no, he threw one, he just missed a lot.
And Dolph Ziggler and The Miz showed exactly what happened.
Yeah, they did.
Damn. focusing on the Cruiserweight Classic then. I don't know how many people saw it coming, but TJ... We had TJ Perkins defeat Grand Metalik in the final. Both men eliminated Zack Sabre Jr. and Kota Ibushi, respectively. That's who we picked. Was this the right result, considering Perkins is now also effectively the face of the Cruiserweight division as the first ever Cruiserweight champion on Raw? I mean, considering you were adamant that Ibushi would win last week.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know who this TJ Perkins guy is and why you think he's won the Cruiserweight Classic. It's yet to be seen if he does win in about 12 or 18 weeks when I finish watching the series, then fair play to you. Good prediction. If what you're saying is true and then you're just a time traveler. Essentially, I think the right person won. I think TJ Perkins embodies what it is to be a cruiserweight. He's high-flying. He's exciting to watch. He will get over hugely. It's just good. It's going to be a different ball game now with him in the WWE and him on Raw. And it's whether he can surpass what the cruiserweights are, which is still very, very... It's still a great division to be in.
Yeah.
But it's whether he can surpass that and go into Intercontinental Championship feuds, US Championship feuds, the Tag Team Championships, and potentially even World Championship feuds. I don't think he's going to be World Championship material, but I can definitely see him being in top feuds like Rey Mysterio was.
Maybe they didn't sign him to be a World Champion, and they knew that, and he knew that.
He's possibly. Dead. Possibly, but then there's a quote that a lot of wrestlers live by, which is, don't eat yellow snow. No, which is if you're not here to be the world champion, then why are you here?
I think eventually that could change, though. I think right now TJ Perkins probably knows there's going to be one tough task.
I mean, there have been other cruiserweight superstars who have become champions. Obviously, especially so recently, Daniel Bryan could fit into that bracket.
Finn Balor, Universal
Finn Champion. Balor, exactly. Seth Rollins to a degree as well. Sami Zayn is going to be up there in a couple of years. Chris Jericho has been world champion multiple times, and he was the light heavyweight champion back in WCW. There's definitely the possibility there. It's just
how to build him up to be
exactly that. Exactly. Just don't drop the ball, WWE. Given him such an opportunity now.
And it could be tougher on Raw than it could be on SmackDown as well. I do think it would. No, I'm not saying it's an easy task. I do think, even though the main title's on SmackDown, I think it's an easier task for the Cruiserweights to get in the title picture because they don't have that depth of talent.
Yep. And, agreed.
Whereas on agreed. Raw, it's such, you know, so much, so hard. And I don't know.
Cedric the Alexander sounds like a clown name.
It's just, well, he's not no clown in the ring.
Yep, true. Yeah. I did watch him on that first episode, and he did look very good.
I think looking back at it, though, it probably does make the most sense. I know that out of the four of them, I can safely say he wasn't the most over, but still over enough to obviously warrant a position in the final four.
Sure.
I'd say it was the safest bet. I think, you know, incredible talent. Can't take anything like that away from him, but I do think we discussed it a little bit last week that Zack Sabre Jr., Kota Ibushi, two of the best, but they hadn't signed deals with the company. I don't think the WWE want to give the title to somebody who's not their star.
Of course.
So I guess it does make, you know, make sense. I think if they did sign, it would be a massive surprise to see them lose. But yeah, personally, I was rooting for Grand Metalik the whole way. Glad to see he got to the final. But yeah, I think Perkins is not only the safest bet, but one that can be ridiculously successful in the division. I'm excited to see where he goes from here.
TJ.
We've seen so much talent as well. Was it 32 of the best? I don't even know who signed, who hasn't, who are everyone involved, what you've seen so far in the first episode you've watched or what you've heard, who do you think will have the biggest impact on Raw? Considering half of these guys might even end up on SmackDown sooner or later if they do.
Ho Hun Lan.
When did you watch this episode? Because you forgot his name already.
I watched it today. It's Ho Ho Lun. Ho Ho Lun.
Yes.
I think he's going to be a huge star.
Really?
Yep.
Are you just genuinely kidding me, or you think? Do you genuinely think?
I mean, you've already spoiled it for me, and you've already told me that he obviously doesn't win the thing. So I mean, why? Don't even know why I bother watching this show. I honestly think Cedric Alexander could be a huge star, but I worry that he'll go down the same path as someone like Apollo Crews.
Okay.
And just be a little bit irrelevant. And I know that's a little bit of stereotyping because they're a similar sort of character.
Yeah.
But I can see him being that sort of smiley face and not getting over with the crowd because of that.
I do Ibushi, think the main roster Ibushi, crowd is
if,
different.
If Ibushi does sign, and you mentioned that he hasn't signed as of yet.
He hasn't.
If he does sign, then that will be the biggest attraction by far. And he will... He will easily become one of the biggest stars on Raw.
Yeah,
I think him and Nakamura main eventing a pay per view would be immense.
Yeah. Again, it all comes down to if they sign him. There's quite a few. As in, I don't know how many they have signed. I don't know how many they will sign. If the SmackDown division does come to fruition sometime, they have plenty of options.
They better not get the leftovers, though.
Yeah, I hope not. I do think it's interesting for Rich Swann, who was on NXT a little. Now he's being thrusted into the big time on Raw now.
Tommaso Ciampa. I did. And Johnny Wrestling.
They haven't been confirmed, even. That's the interesting thing.
They're
going to
be on NXT, though.
They might. They were in the video packages for the Cruiserweight division, so maybe they'll stay on NXT now and then come up later on. Or there might be a surprise introduction somewhere down the line. But yeah, they're going to be huge. I mean, they're already massive on NXT. Whether they're a team in the Cruiserweight division, I don't know. I don't know if that makes sense. And I think the high on...
They could just be singles wrestlers for now and then a tag team later.
Maybe. I think on NXT they should stay as tag team.
I can definitely see that. I think they get over hugely and they could be the next American Alpha in NXT.
I think one thing people have been praising about the tournament is that there were no shenanigans. Straight up tournament, no face turn, no heel turn, and you had a winner.
Because it wasn't necessarily WWE, it was the Cruiserweight Classic.
Yeah. I guess, even though you had Triple H at the top, at the helm, controlling it all.
Yeah.
Someone else I think they would be quite high on is from Manchester, Jack Gallagher. I think he was in the crowd as well in the finals. I think they're quite high on him. I don't know if he's signed. He's not confirmed on WWE.com, but I imagine he is there. Personally, I think TJ Perkins is a step ahead of everyone now. Obviously, the title says a lot. He has a lot of pressure on his shoulders as well to carry that division.
Yeah, he does.
I think Noam Dar, who we discussed last week, could be huge. He had a match in the final as well. As for the rest of them, to be fair, I don't see why anyone would fail. It comes down to booking. I think it is probably a bit of bias, but I do hope Gran Metalik will be massive. Luchador is always exciting in the WWE. His style is incredible. The fans love him. And I think he's probably the masked star the WWE have been missing since Rey Mysterio left. I think the English, the language barrier, I'm not sure if that'll have any effect.
Can he not speak English at all?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think he understands it either. In the final, when they interviewed him, we had two of the women, I forgot the name, sorry. We had one of them speak English.
The Bella Twins?
It wasn't. And then she spoke in Spanish to him, and then he responded in Spanish.
Ah.
So I don't know. Maybe he's learning, but he has signed, so maybe he will learn. So I'd say TJ and Gran Metalik are probably gold mines for the WWE as well. Can you imagine how many of those Cruiserweight titles are going to be purchased by kids? How many of those masks are going to be purchased by kids as well? So I think where the WWE make money from, they'll probably be a big part of the Cruiserweight division.
Definitely. I think it's beautiful. I think it really works well. And I think it really embodies what a Cruiserweight is.
Yeah, I think I'm very happy that it was completely different to the Raw titles. And then it's treated as its own separate division completely, even though it's just part of Raw. But yeah, right then, in the main event this week, quite a quick episode this week. We shot through this one. In the main event, Raw leads SmackDown with a 5-2 lead. The podcast is on 1 point because there was a really bad week. I keep bringing that up every week and it makes me sad every time I bring it up. Raw won last week. Who wins week 9, in your opinion?
For me, it comes down to one segment.
Okay, what's the segment?
And the segment is AJ Styles,
yes,
John Cena, and Dean Ambrose in the ring together with the announcement of a triple threat at No Mercy.
Yeah.
I think because of this, and you know what, there are so many other reasons, but SmackDown has really been hitting the nail on the head.
Yeah.
Also, I have a really quick question about SmackDown.
Go for it.
Did the Heath Slater Rhino versus Vaude Villains match occur?
Well, it was what's it called? It was the Ascension.
Oh, sorry, the Ascension. Sorry,
yes, did happen. Rhino and Heath Slater won.
I didn't see it on my version of SmackDown.
What was you on like Hulu or something?
I was watching it on the internet, and Shane McMahon literally said the match is happening right now. And then the next, they came back from break, and it was just they were just stood there, and like something else happened. It was a Bray Wyatt segment.
I've no idea. From what I saw, Heath Slater and Rhino won.
Yeah, I was worried because I didn't know if they'd lost the title.
No, they haven't lost.
Okay, that's fine.
I do think they'll be losing to the Usos at No Mercy though.
Ooh, I guess that's for the prediction show.
And another rumor is that the Miz and Ziggler's match will be a steel cage, which is pretty big when you put things into perspective.
Mm-hmm.
In Scott Hill title match in a steel cage, you don't see that that's, very often now.
That's where the Miz is still there, though, when he's announcing his... Daniel Bryan is announcing that they're having contract negotiations at the moment.
Mm.
I lost the inability to speak then.
I lost the ability to speak. What? I agree with you. That segment was incredible.
SmackDown wins this week for me. It's got to be.
I think it was a shock factor as well, because I did not expect Cena to come back.
Oh, definitely. It added to the whole mystique of it as well.
Yeah.
And I love the little tidbit battle between John Cena and Dean Ambrose as well.
Yeah, a little bit of tension.
Where John Cena literally just said, "You're not relevant anymore."
And hit the nail on the head, though.
Yep.
I think that's the kind of kick in the backside he needs.
And that's exactly what SmackDown needs as well. Yeah. And for that, for me, SmackDown wins.
And I liked the bit where Ambrose said you couldn't even beat Styles, and Styles there smiling and pointing and everything. Like, it's a heel champion.
It was the perfect way to... Yeah. Styles was the perfect foil to John Cena, Dean Ambrose being there.
I think this main event, I think you'd struggle to find a Raw match which could top this main event, to be fair. Your AJ Styles. Which match do you think could top this? Cena and Styles and Dean Ambrose, who the fans still love.
Brock Lesnar... Roman Reigns.
They hate Roman Reigns.
Brock Lesnar. Let me start again.
Just Brock
Kevin
Lesnar.
Owens, Seth Rollins, triple threat. Oh, I don't even know. No, in fact, no, they wouldn't.
They wouldn't top it.
I completely forgot about AJ Styles.
AJ Styles.
You're right. No match could.
And then we're getting this at No Mercy.
Titus O'Neil. Darren Young.
Special guest referee we'll have. What's his name?
The Crossface Chicken Wing Man himself.
Yeah. I completely forgot his name. It just completely slipped my mind.
Bob Backlund,
that's who it is. But yeah, I agree. SmackDown gets it. I think, again, what we said last time when SmackDown won is that they utilised their 2 hours a lot better than Raw, took advantage of their third hour. And I think the ratings showed as well, because Monday Night Football came into play and they absolutely smashed Monday Night Raw.
Mm-hmm. And I think what we will see, though, is once the Cruiserweight Classic has come up to Raw and maybe taken half an hour away from them so they can better utilise their talent, is we may see a shift back towards Raw. Yeah. But for now, SmackDown look like they're in a really good position.
Which is surprising, because I thought we'd see something massive with Owens and Rollins and everything.
I think it's not going to be massive now until Triple H turns up.
Yeah,
I think he's not going to turn up yet.
I think it'll be Clash of Champions where he does turn up. Again, shenanigans again, somehow.
Shenanigans.
But yeah, that means Raw is currently on 5 points. The podcast is on 1. SmackDown clawing it back now with 3. Next week is a big one. The Cruiserweights are here, and Raw's building up to Clash of Champions, and SmackDown will have to reach the bar that Raw set on Monday.
Mm-hmm. Should be an interesting week.
It should. But yeah, I'm afraid that was all we have time for this week. A really quick episode, not even an hour this time. Thank you.
I mean, we can just sit around for 15 minutes.
We could. You could just listen to Arif, what he's really like behind the podcast, how he verbally abuses me every single week, tells me I'm not good for anything.
Back in your cage.
Back in my cage. But yeah, thank you to all of you that stuck around to the end to listen to that as well. We'd love to hear any and all of your thoughts, so please do get in touch. Make sure you follow us, like, recommend, subscribe, Podomatic, iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube, everywhere, anywhere you want. We'll be back next week with another episode. It is a prediction episode again, isn't it? You're defending your title already.
Yep, Clash. I'm just a tireless champion.
A fighting champion, that's a champion you want to see.
Yep, yep, but not the one I'd want to be.
Plenty of talking points with more scoops and the the Cruiserweights arrive on Monday. Very exciting time. I've been your host, Reza, and you've been listening to the Main Event Podcast.